This is a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
South Dakota House of Representatives will now come to order. Leading us in our prayer today is Pastor Levi Williams from the Fort Pierre Ministerial Association. Leading us in our pledge are pages Caleb Anderson from Sioux Falls and Brittany Butler from Chamberlain.
Gracious Heavenly Father, please give the men and women of this house, along with all the citizens of South Dakota, the strength and courage to face the challenges of this day, not knowing exactly where you are leading, but that you indeed are guiding us. I pray that by your strength and courage that you may develop in us a trust for you and your providence, and that you may give us a hope for brighter days ahead, that we may seize the opportunities that you will give us for the good of this state. This I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The clerk will please call the roll.
Blake, Boland, Boomgarden, Bruner, Berg, Carson, Cronin, Curd, Cutler, Diedrich, Dennert, Dreyer, Elliott, Engels, Spain, Fargen, Feichert, Feinstein, Frericks, Gibson, Gosch, Greenfield, Hamill, Hoffman, Hunhoff, Hunt, Ironcloud, Jansen, Junkie, Killer, Kirkby, Kirschman, Kopp, Krebs, Lang, Lederman, Lucas, Lust, McLaughlin, Mosier, Noam, Nordstrup, Nygaard, Betty Olson, Ryan Olson, Peters, Pitts, Putnam, Roush, Rompham, Arounds, Russell, Schleckaway, Shrimp, Sly, Solberg, Solem, Sorensen, Steele, Street, Thompson, Tiedemann, Turbeville, Van Gerpen, Vander Linde, Vanneman, Virgil, Wink, Wismer, Speaker, Rabe.
Here.
Mr. Speaker, a quorum is present.
Approval of the journal.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Chief Clerk of the House has had under consideration the House Journal of the 14th day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Respectfully submitted, Timothy A. Rabe, Chair.
All those in favor of approving the journal signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Reports of standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources respectfully reports that House Bills 1062 and 1063 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. House Bills 1061, 1064, and 1065 were deferred to the 41st legislative day. Thomas J. Bruner, Chair. The Committee on Health and Human Services respectfully reports that House Bill 1127 was tabled. Carol A. Pitts, Chair. The Committee on Taxation respectfully reports that House Bill 1197 do pass and House Bills 1131 and 1195 were deferred to the 41st legislative day. Ryan P. Olson, Chair. The Committee on Transportation respectfully reports that House Bill 1210 do pass, House Bill 1126 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar, and House Bill 1192 is deferred to the 41st legislative day. Chantel Krebs, Chair. And the Committee on Local Government respectfully reports that House Bill 1148 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. House Bill 1134 do pass as amended, and House Bill 1145 do pass as amended and be placed on the consent calendar. Mark Kirkaby, Chair.
Well, they're working down here. First, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to welcome all of you to the House of Representatives, the People's House. It's awesome to see all the chairs filled up today, and I just want to welcome you and thank you for coming. First, there's a lot of our students are here today, our career and technical student organizations. I don't have a list of all of you, but all of you from the student organizations that are shadowing today, please stand up so we can recognize you. Go ahead, stand up. Welcome. Representative Lucas.
Personal privilege.
Granted, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd also like to have the students from the Occupational Therapy Program at USD please stand and be recognized. They served us breakfast in the Speaker's Lobby this morning. In the group is my daughter, Whitney, and also Carrie Rounds, daughter of Governor Mike and Gene Rounds. And, of course, Carrie does have an uncle here in the body, but since she didn't get a Christmas present for him this year, I don't have to mention his name. So please welcome him.
Welcome. Representative Schleckaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to welcome a dear friend and my cousin Randy Stewart and some members of the Apple Tree Daycare staff from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So join me in giving them a round of applause.
Welcome.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Lang.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Former Representative Dave Gassman is here, right up there. World famous pitcher.
David. Welcome back, David. Thanks for coming. Representative McLaughlin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's my privilege today to introduce the doctor of the day. If he would please stand, Dr. Al Keltz. Dr. Keltz was born and raised in upstate New York. He graduated with two doctorate degrees, medical doctors and a PhD from the University of Rochester School of Medicine and Dentistry. He completed residence in pediatrics in Seattle, Washington, and child neurology in Denver, Colorado, and is assistant professor of pediatrics and neurology at Stanford University. He came to Sioux Falls about 30 years ago, moved to Rapid City, so I guess we can claim him as a true South Dakotan. And after 30 years, he believes he has the right to call himself that, and I think we'll stand and recognize him here as a true South Dakotan. Besides that, he's a wonderful choir member in my wife's choir. So welcome, Dr.
Welcome, Doctor. Thank you for coming and taking care of us today, Doctor.
Mr. Speaker.
Oh, Representative Rounds, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Personal privilege.
Only if you're going to buy a Christmas present for a young lady in an OT class. But granted, sir.
I was going to sit down.
Well,
thank you, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Usually when I arise out of my chair to speak, it's over something controversial. Today, I'm going to have full support. Seated above, behind the speaker up here, we have a number of our state's finest young people. They are veterans of foreign wars and ladies auxiliary, Democracy Scholarship SA District winners, and Patriots Pen winners. The final competition was just held here today, and there are nine finalists that are here today. They were all district winners. As I call off, there were two winners. I'm going to call off their names, and I'm going to have them stand up to be recognized. The State Voice of Democracy winner is Meg Henriksen from Yankton. And the Patriots Pen winner is Megan Stewart from Lenox. And also with them are the nine other district finalists. If they would all stand and be recognized, there are nine others, I believe, or nine total, if you'd all stand and be recognized. And if I may, Mr. Speaker, escorting the winners are Richard Eubanks, National VFW Commander-in-Chief from California, Sissy Burrell, National Auxiliary Guard from Louisiana, State Commander Dick Pickering, State Auxiliary President Diane Hickenbotham, and State Chairman Bill Barlow and Sandy Moss. So give them a good welcome.
Outstanding. I also want to thank the City of Yankton. They provided some treats for us and some water out here in the Speaker's lobby. So let's thank the City of Yankton. Representative Cutler.
Good afternoon, Mr. Speaker. Personal privilege?
Granted, ma'am.
Thank you. I'd like the body to join me in welcoming back to the House a place that she's been many times over the past years of her life. My stepdaughter, Jennifer Gustafson, who is here with the OTs today and helped provide some of the refreshments for us this morning. Welcome, Jen.
Welcome. We also have two government classes here, Edmond Central, and welcome them on behalf of Representative Cronin and Hoffman, and Mr. Hofer's government class from Dewbrook on behalf of Representative Rausch. Would you guys stand up if you're here, please? Are they over here? Welcome. All right. Messages.
Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to return here with House Bills 1046, 1055, and 1087, which have passed the Senate without change. Also, Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to return here with House Concurrent Resolution 1004, in which the Senate has concurred. Also, Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to transmit here with Senate Bills 19, 20, 29, 80, 88, and 109, which have passed the Senate, and your favorable consideration is respectfully requested, Trudy Evanstead, Secretary.
Motions and resolutions.
Representative Hunhoff moves that the rules be suspended for the sole purpose of introducing, giving first reading, and committee referral to a bill relating to requiring the state-owned fuel terminals and facilities to supply certain ethanol blends.
The question being a Representative Hunhoff's motion to suspend the rules. Are there any remarks? Representative Hunhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll be very brief. I really appreciate the body's indulgence in this. Simply because of a clerical error, one of our representatives, Representative Ferrix, had a bill in for a draft, and it just didn't get through the process the way it should have. It's simply a clerical error, and we'd appreciate your indulgence on this matter. Thank you very much.
Further remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Fain.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I too would like to encourage the body to suspend the rules at this time. We understand clerical errors. In the spirit of bipartisanship, we feel that every bill should have its fair hearing, and understand that the representative bringing this bill did what he could to bring it to us, and I too would encourage the body to support the motion to suspend the rules.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question being a Representative Hunhoff's motion that we suspend the rules for the purpose of introducing first reading of a bill. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. The member shall proceed to vote. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a two-thirds vote. Two-thirds vote to suspend the rules. Representative Sorensen.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. A personal privilege?
Granted, sir.
I'd like to introduce our state FFA president and a number of our wonderful young people from the South Dakota FFA, Brian Gottlob, and a number of our wonderful fans, I'm a big fan of the FFA. They brought me an FFA tie to wear today. It's a great organization, and let's give these people a round of applause.
Welcome.
And Mr. Speaker, the state president is from your district as well as mine. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Thanks for coming out today, Brian.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 70.
Representative Hunhoff, motion to suspend the rules, having received a two-thirds majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Just for clarification of the body, that bill will just be read. I've already assigned it. Will be read under first readings.
House Concurrent Resolution 1007, a concurrent resolution supporting the Employee Free Choice Act and urging Congress to pass the Employee Free Choice Act. And the Speaker has referred House Concurrent Resolution 1007 to the Committee on Commerce.
Consideration of committee reports.
Representative Fain moves that the report of the Standing Committee on Commerce on House Bill 1060 be adopted.
All those in favor of the Fain motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. We're going to be at ease just for a moment, ladies and gentlemen. We're having a little computer glitch in trying to get this bill that we dropped numbered. Give us just a minute, please. All right, ladies and gentlemen, back to order here again. We've got the computer problem solved. Carolyn was a whiz and fixed it. First reading of House bills. Ladies and gentlemen, visiting, especially the students today, and especially in our government classes, what we're doing here is every title of every bill that we introduce has to be read in an open forum. That's what they're doing right now. That's why they're reading over top of each other. It's an efficiency measure. In this day and age of computers, you can go online and look up any bill at any given time. So there's nothing that's hidden, but our Constitution dictates that we must read these in open forum. The Speaker assigns House Bill 1266 to Tax, 1267, 1268 to Commerce, 1269 to Education, 1270, 1271 to Appropriations, 1272 to Transportation, 1273 to Tax, 1274 to State Affairs, 1275 to Local Government, 1276 Tax, 1277, 1278 Local Government, 1279 to Education, 1280 to State Affairs, 1281 Transportation, 1282 to Education, 1283, 1284, 1285, 1286 State Affairs, 1287 Judiciary, 1288, 1289, 1290, 1291 State Affairs, 1292 to Judiciary, 1293 to Education, 1294 to Tax, 1295 to Education, 1296 to Local Government, 1297 to Education, 1298 to Education, 1299 to State Affairs, HJR 1002 to State Affairs, and HB 1299, the one we introduced, is referred to the Committee on State Affairs. First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 19, an act to revise the grounds for which continuation or conversion is not required for certain group health policies. Senate Bill 20, an act to revise the lifetime benefit maximum for the health insurance risk pool. Senate Bill 29, an act to revise the requirements for a replacement or discontinuance of group life insurance policies.
Speaker assigned Senate Bill 19, 20, and 29 to Commerce, Senate Bill 80 to Tax, Senate Bill 88 to Education, Senate Bill 109 to the Committee on Health. We're at the consent calendar, ladies and gentlemen. For all those visiting, the consent calendar is another way that we get our business done a little bit faster. These are bills that came out of committee with no dissenting votes. They are not debated on the floor, but you can ask a question of the sponsor of the bill. Any member of the body, any one member, can pull the bill off consent calendar if they feel it needs to be debated fully.
House Bill 1124, an act to prohibit improper influence regarding real estate appraisals.
House Bill 1124, having had a second reading of consideration and final passage, are there any questions? Hearing no questions, the question for South Dakota House of Representatives is final consideration of House Bill 1124. All those in favor will vote aye, those opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. The members shall proceed to vote. Representative Lust.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Personal privilege.
Granted, sir.
Mr. Speaker, did you know yesterday was Groundhog's Day?
Well, yes, I did, Representative Lust. Thank you.
Did you know that Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow?
I did see that, yes.
Do you know what that means, sir?
It's bad news.
6 weeks of winter. You can rest assured, folks. For many of you, that will be a long and hard and cold 6 weeks. But for those of us in the Steeler Nation who will be warmed by the resounding victory in the Super Bowl on Sunday,
out of order.
We will be well taken care of during those 6 weeks. And I would like, rather than have the body join me in euphoric praise of that victory, I'll let you all relish it in your own private way. But I would like you to think about Representative Gibson and Mosier and myself, members of the Steeler Nation, who are happy and gleeful this day. Mr. Speaker, is it warm in here?
No, actually, I'm actually quite comfortable, Representative Lust.
I think it's warm in here. And I felt it was terribly warm in here. And I believe Representative Dreyer feels the same way. So since it's so terribly warm, maybe he can use my terrible towel to wipe his brow.
If props were allowed, that would be fine.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
You are welcome.
Representatives Carson and Wink. Representative Wink. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 70.
House Bill 1124, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Questions on the title? Hearing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1114, an act to allow a broker to form certain business entities under certain conditions.
Oh. House Bill 1114, having had its second readings of consideration and final passage, are there any questions? Hearing none, the question for the South Dakota House of Representatives, final consideration of House Bill 1114. All those in favor will vote aye, those opposed nay. Clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote. Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Personal privilege.
Number Please. Two, granted.
This one you'll like also.
Granted.
Thank you. Yesterday I was speaking with Representative Nordstrom's brother over on the Senate side, and he whispered into my ear that there was a birthday we missed yesterday. 19? I would all like you to wish a belated happy birthday to Representative David Nordstrom. He turned how old yesterday? 26.
Happy birthday, David.
Representative Diedrich Feinstein, thank you. And I do have the wrong bill up here. We are voting on 1114. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 70.
House Bill 1114, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Questions on the title? Hearing none. Title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1115, an act to increase the education requirement for broker associate license.
House Bill 1115, having had its second readings of consideration and final passage, are there any questions? Hearing none, the question before the South Dakota House of Representatives, final consideration of House Bill 1115. All those in favor will vote aye, those opposed nay. Clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote.
Representative Boland. Thank you. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 70.
House Bill 1115, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Questions on the title? Hearing none. Title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1116, an act to require post-licensing education for broker associates.
House Bill 1116, having had its second readings of consideration and final passage, are there any questions? Hearing none, the question for South Dakota House of Representatives is final consideration of House Bill 1116. All those favor vote aye, those opposed nay. Clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote.
Representatives Frerichs, Kirschman, Krebs, and Vanderlinde. Representative Vanderlinde. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
House Bill 1116, having received a majority vote of the members elect. You might want to display that first, Karen.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 70.
House Bill 1116, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Questions on title? Hearing none. Title is deemed approved. Second reading of House Bills.
House Bill 1001, an act to revise certain provisions related to free access to state parks and recreation areas to include certain persons with disabilities.
House Bill 1001, having had a second reading of consideration and final passage, are there any remarks? Representative Nygaard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On behalf of the summer review of Game, Fish, and Parks, this bill emerged and was heard before the House Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee and received a vote of 12-0 after it was amended in a minor form, just to make it clear what we were doing. The bill does two things. One, it recognizes the service and sacrifice of our veterans who are 100% disabled. It has not enlarged the category of the recipients of this bill. However, in the past, these veterans, these 100% disabled combat veterans, have been required to apply each year that they want to have a pass to our state parks. In this time of deepening recession, it was very appropriate to consider this bill and see that we could grant a lifetime pass so that once they've applied, roughly 455 people that it affects currently, and there may be more or less, will only apply once. They'll have their card, they'll keep it until they're through using it, and will not have to reapply, thus lightening their own personal burden and the burden on the Game, Fish, and Parks Department, which was also a proponent of this bill. I urge your due pass of this, and I understand there will be a friendly amendment offered on the floor.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on House Bill 1001. Representative Van Gerpen.
I have an amendment at the desk. I believe it's been passed out to each of the members here of the body.
Is that 1001 Thomas Charlie?
That is correct, Mr. Speaker.
And it has been distributed. Do you move it at this time, sir?
I would move amendment to House Bill 1001. 1001 TC.
Okay. Having been moved and seconded, Representative Van Gerpen, I will give you the latitude to speak to both the amendment and the bill. I don't think you can break those apart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, members of the body, if you will take note of the bill, these are rather minor changes, but it does clarify some of the grammar, and just to make sure that all of our soldiers that apply here are able to meet the requirements. On line 7, you'll notice that we have deleted the semicolon and inserted or, and in the next line 8, at the end of the line, we have taken out has served, because that is referenced to earlier there in the bill. I would urge the body to look very favorably upon this proposed legislation that Representative Nygaard has brought before us. As you know, I was absent from this body for nearly 2 years, and my responsibility during those 2 years was to work with those who have been called to serve our nation in areas that are of extreme difficulty and hostility. And as they came back, I got to visit with a number of them. And one of the things that sticks in my mind as I reflect upon some of those visits is how much it meant to our soldiers to be back in this country and to be able to go out and do some fishing with their family, do some camping with their family, and just to see the green grass. And I think it's a credit to our state that we have this legislation before us, and I would urge a unanimous passage of this particular bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on the Van Gerpen motion to amend. Hearing no further remarks, the question before the House is the Van Gerpen motion to amend Thomas Charlie. All those in favor will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. We're back to discussion on House Bill 1001 as amended. Further remarks. Hearing no further remarks, the question before the South Dakota House of Representatives, final consideration of House Bill 1001 as amended. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will lock the voting machine. The member shall proceed to vote.
Representative Peters. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 69, excused 1.
House Bill 1001, having received a majority vote and the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Questions on the title? Hearing none. Title is incorrect.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Mosier.
Personal privilege, please.
Granted.
Mr. Speaker, members of the body, I ask you to welcome our good friends from Yankton, South Dakota, that are with us today. And if I could have the latitude to make one special introduction.
One more.
Thank you, sir. I'd like to introduce an esteemed former member of this body, my good friend and mentor, Charlie Gilson.
Charlie! Welcome back, Charlie.
House Bill 1117, an act to permit water user districts to provide certain health and life insurance benefits.
House Bill 1117, having had its second readings of consideration and final passage, are there any remarks? Representative Van Gerpen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And Mr. Speaker, members of the body, I invite your attention to House Bill 1117. This comes to us from a number of members of the BY Water District. And as you may or may not know, the water districts, there's about half a dozen of them in our state. They are pretty much governed by the code. And so when they want to make changes that are significant, to be safe and to be sure, they have to go through legislation like this. Now, this legislation is entirely permissive, and what it allows is for the water districts, and this comes to us at the request of the BY Bottom Yankton Water District, which serves about 82,000 people in the counties of Bonham, Yankton, Turner, Hutchinson, Douglas, and Davison counties. And they would like the opportunity to pursue the option of having a health insurance, dental insurance, and possibly life insurance as a part of the compensation as being on the board of directors. There are approximately, I think, 12 or 13 members of the particular board. They are elected for a term of 3 years, and so there's a gradual or could be a turnover. But they come to us asking for the permission, and this is completely permissive, for them to look into the possibility of providing to their members, the board of directors, life or health or dental insurance policy. Now, this could be paid for by one of three ways. Either the district itself would provide it as a benefit, a compensation for their service. Number two, there could be a cost-sharing way that it could be done, where they would pay for part of the cost and the district pay for part, or it could be that they would pay for it all themselves. This is completely permissive language, and they're just coming to us because the water user districts are defined in the code, and to be have the clarity and to be sure that there is no obstacle for them to overcome, they're asking us to allow them to do this particular permissive legislation. Again, it's permissive, and I encourage you to support House Bill 1117. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Van Gerpen. Further remarks on House Bill 1117. Representative Cronin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm standing in opposition of this legislation. As a member of a water district board, you don't work full-time, on a full-time basis, and in my mind, this does not qualify them for full health insurance and life insurance benefits. In the committee, the testimony was made that some water districts are flourishing and are flush with money. However, rather than lowering their rates to their constituents, they want to insure their board members. I worry about those water districts that aren't so fortunate. I fear that this would compromise the effectiveness of these boards and that maybe some board members could take advantage of this policy. I feel that in tough economic times, this is not something prudent to invoke a way to ensure board members and not return the investments or the amounts back to the customer. I urge a no vote on House Bill 1117. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on House Bill 1117. Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House. This bill addresses permissive language for that individual water user district. It is not mandatory. It is an option that they can vote in themselves. Now we get into the political structure of the board. These people run for three-year terms. If the voters of that district feel that they are allowing something that isn't appropriate, they'll get voted out. The one idea I like about this, and it was brought up in committee, it'll entice maybe one or two more individuals to get into the race for the board, to get involved with the board, to run for a position. It could be a recruitment tool for somebody to run for the board. Again, it is permissive. They can do it or they don't have to do it. That is the reason I supported it in committee. I believe we should move this bill along. It's permissive, something you got to keep in the back of your head. They can vote this yes or no, plus these board members will have to stand up for election someday. So I'd ask you to vote yes and move it along. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on House Bill 1117. Does any member wish to speak before Representative Van Gerpen speaks for a second time? Representative Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to reiterate what my co-part in District 23 said. I think once you open up the door to having all these boards and all these people running for these boards, getting all these benefits, we're going to have the people who are paying for the services that are being provided an extra stipend, an extra allotment to cover life and health insurance and what knows else, I don't know. And I don't really know if there's ever been an incentive brought to the web board by the chairman of the board that wasn't passed. So I don't think this ever being able to be voted for would ever not be a part of their program. I urge you to not pass this legislation. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks, Representative Kirkaby.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill certainly had an extremely fair and accurate hearing in local governments, and specifically as the title reads in the following sentence, it is a tool that these organizations, these associations, may in fact offer as part of what they're doing, that service that they're providing. The being permissive is one thing, but I can assure you that if anybody was going to enact anything like this, and we're going to have multiple versions of titles like this offering that permissive legislation, you're going to have to sell, and educate any members before they ever have the courage to enact something like this. House Bill 1117 is going to receive my green vote. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Kirkaby. Further remarks, Representative Gosch.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd probably, you know, after hearing the debate, cast my vote with Representative Cronin and Hoffman on this, because I think if you give that small form of government the opportunity to pat its pocket a little bit, if you will, with some additional benefits versus giving some reduce rates back to the customers, they may just do that. So I would urge a no vote on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks, Representative Hunhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wasn't paying that much attention to this bill until I hear some of the references to the people who serve on these boards. And I don't know about your area of the state, but in our area of the state, it's hard to find good young people who really want to serve on rural water boards and REA boards and extend it to school boards and county commissions. I know that's getting astray from the bill here, but I don't know really where it's our business to tell these boards how to operate. And it seems to me we're just giving them the same freedoms that we want in this legislature. We don't like it when Washington tells us what to do. I'm not so sure we really have the responsibility to tell these local boards how to operate. And, man, we need more public participation in these kind of boards and commissions and rural water boards in particular. It's a big job, but it's a big responsibility, and I just think we ought to give them all the freedom and respect we can. So I'd urge a yes vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks, House Bill 1117. Representative Bruner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, you know, I've served on boards of various kinds for 20, probably close to 30 years, and I can't imagine a local board being irresponsible enough to be that out of touch with their constituents that they would offer this if they thought it was a bad idea. A lot of recruitment tools are needed to get good board members to serve, and that is a problem. I know I've been involved with the Rural Electric Program for close to 20 years. We've been able to do that. Some boards do it, some don't, and I think this just puts another tool in their toolbox to recruit and retain and properly compensate their board members. So I would urge a green vote.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Does any member wish to speak before Representative Van Gerpen speaks for a second time? Seeing none, Representative Van Gerpen.
Ladies and gentlemen of this body, this is permissive legislation. And the reason that this board has come to this body to request this opportunity is because they're governed by the code of 46A-9. So in order for them to do this kind of thing, they had to have the opportunity because we regulate it by the South Dakota Code. These members of these boards, as has been alluded to earlier, are difficult to recruit. Their pay normally is rather low for the responsibility that they have. As has been alluded to, they are up for election every 3 years. They can't stack a board. In order for them to have this as an opportunity to consider and to be reviewed by the members of their district, that's all this does is give them the opportunity to pursue it, and it may cost the district, it may not cost the district anything. They may pay for this themselves. They want the opportunity to consider this. So in the interest that we provide something out there to encourage good members and qualified members of the board, that's why we have this bill before us. And I encourage your passage of House Bill 1117.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, question before South Dakota House of Representatives. Final consideration of House Bill 1117. All those favor will vote aye. Those opposed nay. Clerk will lock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote.
Representative, thank you. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 47, nays 23.
House Bill 1117, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Questions on the title? Hearing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1119, an act to permit background checks for persons seeking employment with municipalities.
House Bill 1119, having had a second reading of consideration and final passage, are there any remarks? Representative Cutler.
Thank you again, Mr. Speaker, and members of the House. House Bill 1119 simply allows cities to do a more complete background check by allowing them access to federal background checks. They use these for employees that work with especially vulnerable populations, such as children in a park and rec situation, or people who may have access to critical infrastructure, such as water systems. With that, I would ask for your favorable consideration of House Bill 1119. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on House Bill 1119? Hearing no further remarks, question for South Dakota House of Representatives. Final consideration of House Bill 1119. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed nay. The clerk will lock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 70.
House Bill 1119, having received a majority vote in the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Questions on the title? Hearing none. Title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1076, an act to authorize the Board of Regents to replace certain real estate held for agriculture field laboratory research purposes, to make improvements to the replacement lands, and to make an appropriation for such purposes.
House Bill 1076, having had its second readings of consideration and final passage, are there any remarks? Representative Wink.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 1076 is brought to you by the House Committee on Appropriations. It's titled An Act to Authorize the Board of Regents to Replace Certain Real Estate Held for Agricultural Field Laboratory Research Purposes, to make improvements to the replacement lands, and to make an appropriation for such purposes. Basically what this is going to do, it is going to authorize the Board of Regents to be able to sell pasture land currently being used by South Dakota State University for their cattle research projects. Due to impending urban growth, and that particular pasture seems to be in the path of an area that could be used for other purposes, and complaints from some of the neighbors on odor, bugs, runoff, South Dakota State University has decided to try and move this cattle facility, research facility, outside of town. They've located a piece of property, approximately 640 acres, and it's now being held by South Dakota State University's foundation, which is mission is to assist in the educational goals of South Dakota State University. They raise money for scholarships, and they also act as intermediaries on situations like this. So what this would do is authorize the Board of Regents to sell the pasture that's basically next to the campus and purchase the pasture about 10 miles outside of town. The purchase price of the pasture outside of town, the 640 acres, was $1,138,500. The pasture that is located next to campus has not been appraised, but it will be appraised by the Office of School and Public Lands Commissioner, and it'll be sold for not less than full and appraised value. Be happy to answer any questions for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the body, I'm looking at Section 5, and I find the language there to be unique and perhaps even somewhat bizarre. It says, if the proceeds from any sale authorized by this act are not available to the Board of Regents by October 1st of this year, the Board of Regents may identify other funds derived from sales of products and services by the Agricultural Experiment Station and any grant and contract indirect recovery funds sufficient to the purchase or to purchase the property as provided in Section 4 of this Act. I'm not familiar with any other situation over the past 8 years, and I could be wrong, and I would stand corrected if somebody can prove me wrong, but I'm not familiar with any situation in which such a broad authority is given to the Board of Regents. I'm definitely urging people on this floor to proceed with caution with regard to Section 5 of this bill. And I guess based on my own concerns, I'm going to vote no. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. For the remarks, hearing no further remarks, the question for the South Dakota House of Representatives is final consideration of House Bill 1076. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed nay. The clerk will lock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote. It's two-thirds vote, ladies and gentlemen, on the appropriation. It's an appropriation, two-thirds vote. Ladies and gentlemen, while we're waiting for the votes to come in, there's a young lady that continues to sit in my chair. I've asked security to get her out of here, but they keep letting her sit there every day. It's my intern, Sarah. Today, her parents are visiting and her grandparents, and they're in the back, and if they'd stand up, and if you'd recognize them, because without Sarah, I would not be able to do my job. So please welcome them to the House.
Representative Hunhoff. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 61, nays 9.
House Bill 1076, having received a two-thirds majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Questions on the title? Hearing none. Title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1021, an act to provide for a contested case hearing on the denial of a claim for the recovery of an allegedly overpaid tax, penalty, or interest.
House Bill 1021, having had a second reading of consideration and final passage, are there any remarks? Speaker. Representative Turbeville.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I have with me today House Bill 1021, which is brought at the request of the Department of Revenue and Regulation. This has to do with an individual's appeal to the Department of Revenue for a request of overpaid tax, penalty, or interest. Currently, an appeal is handled by someone within the department. That decision is reviewed by the department secretary. If the appeal is denied, that decision itself can be appealed to the circuit court. The problem with having to appeal the decision directly to the circuit court is, other than a letter denying the requested refund, there usually is no factual record for the circuit court to review that will enable it to make an appropriate judicial determination about whether the secretary's decision was correct. Therefore, in most instances, the circuit court will order that the matter be remanded back to the department to hold a hearing in order to develop a record so that it can make a decision on appeal. House Bill 1021 remedies this situation by providing for the same type of due process administrative hearing on requests for refunds as is currently used by the department in many other areas, including tax assessment audits. A person that is denied a request for recovery of overpaid taxes can request an administrative hearing. If they do not agree with the results of that, they would be able to appeal to the circuit court. But at that time, they would have a well-established record. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a taxpayer-friendly bill that streamlines the hearing process and makes the process consistent with other matters that are handled within the Department of Revenue and Regulation. I urge that you join me in voting yes on House Bill 1021. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on House Bill 1021. Hearing no further remarks, the question before the South Dakota House of Representatives is final consideration of House Bill 1021. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. The members shall proceed to vote. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 70.
House Bill 1021, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Questions on the title? Hearing none. Title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1040, an act to revise certain license, registration, and inspection fees related to food service establishments, lodging establishments, and campgrounds.
House Bill 1040, having had a second reading of consideration and final passage, are there any remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Diedrich.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the body. I bring you House Bill 1040, which is a bill that came from the Department of Health. It says that it's an act to revise certain license, registration, and inspection fees. But make no mistake, just so we're all clear about it, the revision is all upward. This will be an increase in fees, increase in license, registration. But it's an increase that we need to have. It's an increase that this body needs to pass. Under the current fee structure, we have minimal licensing fees, and the current revenue covers approximately half or 50% of the fees that are involved, or I should say the cost involved for these inspections. So why do we need these inspections? Safety. Your safety, everybody's safety, and the safety of those who come and visit us. We're talking about food service establishments and making sure that they're clean and safe. Lodging establishments, making sure they're clean and safe, and campgrounds, making sure that they're clean and safe. It's a boost to our tourist industry, which we know brings many dollars into the state, and dollars that are severely needed, desperately needed, I may say, at this point in time. The bill would raise approximately $445,860 in additional fees, and at that point in time, if you pass this through, and the other house decides to do the same, we will completely cover all the costs of these inspections. If you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer them. But before I stop, let's consider one thing. Most of the fees, or many of the fees, as far as campgrounds were concerned, have not changed since 1992. On food service, the majority of them have not changed since 1997. For lodging, the fees have stayed the same since 1996. It's time to make the change. We need to go forward. We need to have these costs covered. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Berg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's true some of these hasn't changed for a while, but this money doesn't go into the Department of Health. It goes into the general fund. If this was needed for the Department of Health, it should go to the Department of Health. And for that reason, I'm not going to vote for this, because we don't know what the right amount that is really needed there. Because once it goes into the general fund, they will withdraw what they need to do the inspections, and the rest will stay in the general fund. So it's kind of hard to track this money to know if we have raised them too much or not enough. So this is why I'm voting against this bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Nygaard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question for the sponsor.
State your question, sir.
The question is, in your testimony you had said it would boost tourism, and I want to know how it would boost tourism.
Representative Diedrich, do you wish to answer that question, sir?
I do.
Thank you.
If I said it would boost tourism, I said something probably incorrect. But what it would do is help make sure that everything is safe. In other words, it would allow for us to advertise, if we'd want to, how safe our campgrounds are, how safe our food establishments are, how safe everything is, because we do inspections on a regular and timely basis, and our inspections are complete and take care of all the questions that anybody should have concerning their safety in those particular establishments. With that, it would allow us to boost tourism, but it wouldn't in and of itself boost tourism. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Nygaard, you still have the floor, sir.
Thank you. Just one more question of the sponsor.
State your question, sir.
And the question is this. We've raised to $45 the water system inspection fee and $65 to have more than one. What were they before?
Representative Diedrich, do you wish to answer that question, sir?
I do, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you.
Representative, I believe those are new fees.
But,
Representative Nygaard, you still have the floor, sir.
Well, thank you, then. I believe I understand the sponsor to say that these are have gone from zero to 45 and zero to 65. And I guess in response to that, I would have to, may I speak to the bill?
You can, sir. Yes.
No amendment, so I could speak to the bill.
You can speak to the bill, sir.
I was lost here in the floor.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll get you back on track.
Thank you very much, Speaker. Anyhow, I plan to oppose this because I believe that a lot of these businesses are very seasonal in nature, and I believe that tourism out in the hills could be hurt by this because when you have multiple cabins, you add about 10 cabins at $45 or $65, $450 to $650. Inspection fees becomes rather onerous, and for that reason, I will be voting red.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks, Representative Rausch.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I rise in support of this bill, and, you know, it's a year like this may be an indication that we have some other things that are not working correctly. We have some fees that have not been addressed or looked at for many years, and that is a problem. We should be reviewing them regularly, and our fee schedules should be adjusted accordingly, like every other business that is run in this state. But when we have the dollars and it seems like we can balance our budgets, we don't raise those because we want to give our constituents and the residents of the state the best deal we can give them. Well, unfortunately, it takes tough times before we maybe realize that we're out of whack on some of these things, and now is the time to adjust those. Yes, it's unfortunate. Yes, it looks like we're trying to just raise additional revenues. Those are only parts of it. We are out of whack, and they need to be adjusted. I would ask that you support this bill. The fees are not out of line. There was no opposition to them. They realize that it's long overdue, and I would ask this body to support this legislation. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Lang.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the body. Many of us were at the Veterans of Foreign Wars. I'm a member of that organization, and I notice on their sheet it's a red vote on this one. Sorry, folks. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Does any member wish to speak before Representative Diedrich speaks for a second time to the bill? Seeing none, Representative Diedrich.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think I need to address the remarks of the gentleman who spoke, the gentleman from Vermilion, concerning his reason for saying no. In those facilities, when he talked about cabins and if the cabin would have a hot tub in there, that particular inspection fee would be, I think it's $60 or $65. And if so, if that facility has 49 cabins, obviously being more than one, the fee is only that $60 or $65. It's not 45 times each one. The second part of this is that fee is the fee that was proposed by that particular industry. They came to the appropriations hearing with an amendment, and they asked that this be the fee that was put on. Department of Health said, we'll go along with that. That's considered a friendly amendment. And so that is where that particular number came from, and I hope that straightens out your interpretation. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Does any member wish to speak before Representative Nygaard speaks for a second time? Seeing none, Representative Nygaard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Honorable Representative from Brule, Buffalo, Charles Mix, Jones, Lyman. And any others not covered by that, anyhow. I find that very convincing, and I will reconsider my vote. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on House Bill 1040. Hearing no further remarks, the question before the South Dakota House of Representatives is final consideration of House Bill 1040. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed nay. The clerk will lock the voting machine. The members shall proceed to vote. Ladies and gentlemen, as stated before, these funds do go directly into the general fund. They are a fee going to the general fund. It is clearly a simple majority. Simple majority.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 49, nays 21.
House Bill 1040, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Questions on the title? Hearing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1118, an act to revise the type of slot machines that may be owned or leased by the City of Deadwood.
House Bill 1118, having had a second reading for consideration and final passage, are there any remarks? Representative Turbeville.
Oh, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, I have with me today House Bill 1118. This bill asks you to approve a two-word amendment to existing statute that, if approved, has the potential to add approximately $400,000 to $500,000 to the amount of money sent to the South Dakota General Fund by Deadwood Gaming, and will do so without increasing a single fee or a tax. Let me explain. In 1989, voters of South Dakota approved for Deadwood limited Las Vegas-type gaming consisting of blackjack and poker tables and slot machines. Included in the gaming statute is a clause that allowed the City of Deadwood the right to own or lease 55-cent slot machines. It also determines the distribution of funds derived from the sale or lease of those 55-cent slot machines. Under the formula, the State General Fund shares in the revenue as follows. Of the total amount of the sale, 70% goes to the State General Fund, 10% to the municipalities in Lawrence County, except for Deadwood, pro rata according to their population. That would be the cities of Spearfish, Lead, Whitewood, St. Ange. 10% to the school districts in Lawrence County based on the previous year's ADM, and 10% to the Deadwood Historic Preservation and Restoration Fund. Now, when this was passed, the City of Deadwood decided they did not want to be in the gaming business, so they decided to auction their rights to those 55-cent slot machines. Deadwood casinos could bid for machines in increments of five, and what they would do is they would take machines out of storage or purchase new and put on the gaming floor. At that time, the nickel play slot machine received the most play by gamblers, and consequently, they provided the most revenue to the casinos. Bidding for those 50 individual nickel machines was spirited in bids of $15,000 to $18,000 per machine. Were not uncommon. In 2002, the state's share was approximately $500,000. But times have changed. In 2008, the state's share was $30,000. Penny machines have come on the scene and are now the most popular. Nickel play has dropped substantially, and so have the bids from the casinos, and so has the money being sent to the state's general fund. Keep in mind that 70% of that auction does come back to the State General Fund. The problem we have here is existing statute will not allow penny machines because it says 5 cent. The Gaming Commission says 5 cent is a nickel. So to solve this problem and hopefully increase revenue to the state, I'm asking you to approve House Bill 1118, which will change the statute to add two words. The words are or less after the word 5 cent. And that would allow 5 cent machines to be, that would allow penny machines to be placed within the city. Ladies and gentlemen, you may have recognized some of this language as the governor has made mention of these funds as a new source of revenue in his latest budget. This bill is supported by the Deadwood Gaming Association and the City of Deadwood. And let me make sure that everyone understands this is not an increase in gaming. Ladies and gentlemen, with that, I conclude my presentation. I thank you for your time and attention, and I will stand by for any questions.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks, Representative Feinstein.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to offer an amendment to this bill.
Representative Feinstein, is that 1118-OB?
Yes, it is.
Has it been distributed, sir?
It has.
Do you move it at this time?
I would like to move the amendment.
Second.
The amendment having been moved and seconded, Representative Feinstein, I will...
I'd like to speak to the bill and the amendment.
I believe you'll have to do that because I don't think you can split it apart. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, members of the body, the reason I bring this amendment, I brought up the question of increasing the number of machines that are available for this privilege. To the sponsor, I said, what if we increased it? If we're already going to gain $400,000 to $500,000 of general fund money, if we doubled that to 100 machines, that would be $800,000 to $1 million. In this year of budget crunch and trying to find extra monies, I think this is a perfect opportunity. Again, as my good friend from Lawrence County and Deadwood said, this is not a tax increase. This is a way we can increase funds to the general fund just by doubling the number to 100. And I urge you, your passage of this amendment. In committee, he had said he would deem it a friendly amendment, and that's what was said there. But I urge your vote to support this amendment of increasing the number to 100. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on the Feinstein motion to amend. Representative Fain.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I appreciate the thoughts that are involved in increasing fees and revenues for a tough budget crunch that we have this year. However, I think we've heard it a number of times from many of our folks in South Dakota that increasing the amount of gambling devices and the amount of gambling in South Dakota is probably not something they prefer. The bill is presented does not add any more devices or further expand gaming in Deadwood or anywhere else in South Dakota. It simply changes the denominations of the machines that are available. These machines have always been available in the same number that they are now. In fact, what he's suggesting is that they move from 5 cents or less. So in essence, you could see it as a reduction of statewide gambling in South Dakota. I believe this amendment clearly increases gambling in Deadwood, and I feel that most citizens of South Dakota are not looking for us to increase gambling in South Dakota as a problem to solve our revenue crisis this year. I'd encourage the body to resist the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on the Feinstein motion to amend. Representative Turbeville.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, Representative Feinstein is absolutely correct. He did mention this in State Affairs Committee, and I did say I would consider it a friendly motion. It was friendly to the efforts, but it is not friendly to the South Dakota Gaming Pact. We are in the process of working with the tribes and their casinos, and so far this has been an ongoing effort with the Attorney General's office, and the tribes have been working very honorably with us. And my concern is that if we approve this amendment and increase the 50 to 100, which would be a boom for the state and the other cities involved in this, if we approve this, would be in direct violation of the gaming compact. And as much as I appreciate the effort, and I do thank the sponsor of the amendment, I would ask that you oppose this amendment based on the fact that I do not feel that I want to do anything to violate the Attorney General's compact dealings at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on the Feinstein motion to amend. Representative Killer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
You're welcome.
I would really urge the body to support this amendment because one of the biggest issues, I'm a big believer in free markets, and I believe this puts a cap on tribes, and one of the things that's always bothered me is how we can give Deadwood machines like free reign, but when it comes to tribes that we put a market cap on them. And I just want to throw that out there and ask you to consider that before we do this. And at the same time, it's going to add more money to the state, so it's a win-win situation. And, I don't see how it can impact the state in any way. So, and tribes have been dealing with this for the last, since they had gaming. And right now, they're only currently limited to 250 machines total. And in North Dakota, they do a market-driven cap. So I just want to ask you to consider that, and thank you for the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on the Feinstein motion to amend. Does any member wish to speak before Representative Feinstein speaks to the motion a second time? Seeing none, Representative Feinstein.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I know I don't look it, but I went to law school in 1992. And in that time period, the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act was going through, and there were issues going on. I happened to write a law review on that article, and it addressed compacts and addressed how states had to deal with compacts. And I actually worked with then Assistant Attorney General Long on some of the items I was putting in the law review article. I know that rule, and I know how compacts work inside and out. And I guess I don't see how this frustrates that at all. Essentially, I think what my friend from Deadwood is saying is if we allow more machines, then the Indian casinos, Native American casinos, will also be allowed more machines. It shouldn't frustrate the compact process. The compact negotiations don't really negotiate around the numbers. They negotiate on other issues. So I still urge your passage for this. I don't see how we can turn down an ability to enhance the revenues of the state at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on the Feinstein motion to amend. Hearing no further remarks, the question before roll call has been requested. Is he supported? He is supported. The question before the House is the Feinstein motion to amend. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. The member shall proceed to vote.
Representative Lederman. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 24, nays 46.
The Feinstein motion to amend, having failed to receive a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared lost. We're back to discussion on House Bill 1118. Further remarks. Hearing no further remarks, the question before the South Dakota House of Representatives is final consideration of House Bill 1118. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. The member shall proceed to vote.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 67, nays 3.
House Bill 1118, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Questions on the title? Hearing none, title is deemed correct. Representative Fain.
Thank you, Ms. Speaker. I move that we defer the remainder of today's calendar until Wednesday, the 16th legislative day.
All those in favor of the Fain motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Announcements. Representative Hunt.
Reminder to the body, tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock, Catacombs Caucus, Governor's Large Conference Room, 7 o'clock. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further announcements. Representative Tiedemann.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Appropriations briefing tomorrow morning, 7:30, and then we will be hearing from Military Veterans Affairs, School and Public Lands, and Department of Agriculture. And then tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock will be Ralph Brown, room 414. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further announcements. Representative McLaughlin.
House Ed tomorrow at 7:45.
Thank you, Representative. Any further announcements? Speaker has just a couple acts to sign. Do you use for just a minute? Speaker is signing an act to revise the eligibility requirements for the Richard Hagan Minerva Harvey Memorial Scholarship Award. Speaker is signing an act to authorize the Department of GF&P to sell certain real property located at the Cleghorn Fish Hatchery and to the City of Rapid City. And Speaker signing an act to revise certain provisions concerning the number of preemptory challenges in cases involving very high felonies. Representative Turbeville.
Mr. Speaker, I move that we adjourn.
All those in favor of adjournment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries.